Father, we give you all the thanks in that wonderful name of Jesus. We're so grateful that your love has called us here this morning. Lord, we're so thankful for the song and, God, the encouragement of the crowning moment. God, help us to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take our crown. Lord, we just thank you that it's going to be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that we're going to be with you, Lord. And when we see you, we're going to be like you, Lord. A glorified body like unto your own glorious body. Now, Lord, we're so thankful that your grace allows us to wait patiently and anticipate in love that moment. Help it to capture our hearts. Lord, allow that fervent love to just grow. God, stoke that fire. Lord, let it just burn, Lord, more fervently for you. God, wake us up. Let us look up, Lord, because your coming is nigh. God, help us to quit looking at the things of this world, the things of self, and glory in that man. That man I hope to be, seated in the midst of the throne with you. Now, Lord, thank you for your truth. Thank you for the grace and love and faith to receive it. May you and your Son only be magnified. May the Holy Spirit reign. May we rejoice and be happy in Jesus this day. In your name, amen. Praise God. If you'd open your Bibles, we're going to the third chapter of Revelation. That's the third chapter of Revelation, and we'll read the 10th verse. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now you talk about a keeping, brothers and sisters. Because thou hast kept, I will keep. Praise God. I was laughing that the Lord told me, said, son, you're a keeper. And he speaks with me, and I know he speaks with you. And I'm just grateful to God today. Like I said earlier, this world's awful dead anymore. They're snuffing out any thought of God at an accelerating rate. But there's a keeping going on. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Now this is exciting stuff here. And in case you're not familiar with this portion, in this second and third chapter of Revelation, this is the state of the Christian churches at the time of the coming of Christ. And that's why this is so exciting, brothers and sisters, because we're talking about right now. We live at the time, at the moment, that Jesus Christ could appear. We know it. The signs, the types, the things are being revealed. Pretty much everything has come to pass, but praise be to God, there is something that hinders. There is something that's holding it all back. And believe it or not, it's the bride. Till she is taken out of the way, the enemy can't come in yet with the full force. But brothers and sisters, this verse is the assurity to the believers that will make up this church of brotherly love. And let me underscore brotherly love today. To even remotely think that God would have you abiding as part of this precious Philadelphia church, the evidence is she abides in love. There's no other way that you would abide anyways but in love. There's no other way that we would endure and have the faith, brothers and sisters, to believe that Jesus Christ could soon appear if it wasn't for the love of God. If it wasn't for His revelation of His great love that He is preparing a readied wife, that He will have a bride, the Lamb's wife, and He will rejoice with her that day and forevermore, ruling and reigning jointly, glorified together with Him. Isn't that awesome? Praise be to God. I love to see appropriate marriages. And you know what an appropriate marriage is? One that magnifies Christ Jesus and His bride. A man that adores his wife, that dotes upon her, that realizes that she is his glory. Listen. And a wife that reverences her husband, cherishes him, keeps herself for him, and magnifies him as her head. Are we abiding for Christ? Are we allowing that grace to enrich our hearts to realize what a privilege it is this day to have this message, to abide patiently, to wait and endure, and it is an enduring, for the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, this Philadelphia church is the only company of believers that will be translated and spared from the tribulation. All others will go into that tribulation that will be here upon the earth at this time. And that tribulation it's speaking of here is no doubt the 7-year period of complete judgment that will come upon all the world, as it says, and show forth to all that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Not is going to be Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord and Savior. He has not taken the throne as God as of yet. But that's just a when, not an if. And it is soon coming. But brothers and sisters, we look about us sometimes and we think, well, who are these Philadelphia saints? Who are these full overcomers in Christ? Well, you flip across the page there and in chapter 4 you'll realize that, well, my goodness, it's those four living ones. In Romans 8:17, it's the saints who are the joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The ones who step out in faith and love, that believe Him and His Word, and do not think it's a shame to want and to desire to be glorified together with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember some of the stories I heard of sometimes these young ladies that have married a prince, a man of much wealth, and they didn't come from much wealth, and how that man would want to bestow those riches upon his wife. Buy her the dresses and the jewels and those things. And how she was almost shocked and taken back. Me? Oh yes, you. As that king looked out that day and saw Esther, he didn't say, oh, here's a dress. Oh, here's a necklace. Or here's a bracelet. Or why don't you come and stay sometime? Oh no. He said, what's mine is yours. What's mine is yours. It's ours, honey. You have ravished my heart. I see the love within you. The love within you. That love that you have for me, that you have kept by grace. You have a little strength. Did you know that? God has given you the ability to have a little strength. For one thing. To keep the word of His patience. How wonderful. Who is she? She's the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon. Who is she? She's Isaac's Rebekah. Who is she? She's those from every kindred, tongue, and nation that love His appearing. See, God is no respecter of person. His Son came to die for all the sin of man. Every single one. And you think how openly wicked man can be. How they blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. How they insult Him. His Word. the despicable things that they do. But yet, as he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's not them. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. It's that darkness. Brothers and sisters, may we have compassion one for another. May we love as Christ loved this world and know that this world needs Jesus. There's been lots of things and lots of error and lots of hatred that have been preached through the ages. But there's one thing that has always remained the same, and that's the love of God. The love of God has never changed. He's crying out today, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you realize what an advocate you have in heaven this morning? Do you realize that advocate that's been there all week for you? As you've stumbled along and bumbled and failed, maybe cursed, I don't know. And yet all along, my blood covers the multitude of sin. Oh, aren't you ravished by Him? I mean, it's hard to speak about Christ without really just melting, isn't it? I don't mean to get up here and blubber, and I hope it doesn't bother you, but my goodness, sometimes it's just beyond. And looking at the people He loves so, that have been quickened to respond, to come to church, and not just come to church, but to glory in the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What a pleasure it is to preach the Word of God. To him that hath an ear, let him hear. Oh my goodness. How could we not speak these things which we have seen and heard? Oh, we better take note of them. They'd been with Jesus. They'll either run from you. Most of them do. Yeah, even Christians. There was some I was talking to in this trip, and it was sweet for the first moments, but when the truth started to come out, you could see people starting to get uncomfortable. And I thought, oh Lord, how it grieved my heart. There's so much more. Don't you want to grow up? Don't you want to grow up? Don't you want to experience all the things that He has for you? Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is so good. But brothers and sisters, who are these ones? Well, there are ones that are sitting here right now ready to jump up and say, Brother, if by any means might I attain to that resurrection. That might be saying, oh, I want to meet Him in the air. I understand all those fringe benefits. And man, did I see the fringe benefits this week. As that one minister told me out there, he said, you know, they're talking about revivals in India, revivals in China. Let me tell you something, the place on earth where they maybe need the most revival is right there in San Francisco. That one guy called it San Francisco. Never mind. I hope you'd understand we're all sick without Christ. Do you know that? Don't start trying to judge, rate sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So knock that stuff off, because that'll just stumble you. So, there are fringe benefits. I was looking at them, reading them. Praise God I wouldn't have to go through the tribulation. Praise God He'd deliver me out of this old sinful world. But praise God, this one who's kept, she's just looking at the one benefit. And that's face to face with Jesus Christ at the first trump. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it's getting more real every day. I look out here this morning and I'm thinking, oh Lord, it could be the next breath, the next blink of an eye, the next moment, boom, there we are face to face with Him. That's how He has encouraged our hearts to live. And that is the heart of she who has kept the word of His patience. And how sweet the evidence is right here in this one little word, kept. Because thou hast kept. And you think here, this word kept has to be spoken from the heart of a bride. It has to be spoken from the heart of a readied wife, abiding, waiting for her husband to take her away. Now, I've had many challenge often. Oh, brother, how in the world are you getting that out of there? Well, let's rightfully divide the word. Praise God. You know, when your heart says that by grace, the Holy Spirit's right there, smiling like you can't imagine. You ready to rightfully divide this? Let me show you. Let me reveal it to you. Let me take those eyes and we'll get all that stuff out of there. We'll give you a vision, son. Kept to guard and patiently wait. That sounds pretty good to me. To guard and patiently wait. How about stand, withstand, and having done all to stand, and patiently wait. See, she loves him, brothers and sisters. She loves him so much, she is willing to wait. And not just wait, but patiently, joyfully, and willingly wait. Oh, I've heard people say, I'm waiting for God to come. Okay. Why don't you keep that to yourself? Because that's not a real affectious testimony. I'm waiting for my bridegroom to come. How about you? Huh? I'm waiting for that trump. How about you? Hallelujah. I remember hearing of those stories. My grandmother, she was a feisty one on my daddy's side. She'd talk about, you know, the wartime. And she had those sons who were in World War II. And before they'd go off, they had girlfriends and things. And they'd pressure them a little bit. Well, you got to marry me before you go out. You know, go off to war and all that. And my grandmother would always tell me, she said, son, if a woman's really in love with you, she'll wait. She'll wait. And there those men would go off often. And they'd think that their honey was waiting, but they would come back and they didn't wait. Well, I got news for you. She wasn't in love. True love waits. True love endures. True love will wait it out. Because true love knows there's only but one love. Do you realize that? True love doesn't get caught up in the things of this world. True love has their eyes upon him. I'll move along. Kept. To perceive and behold. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. To know the hope of his calling. That's awesome stuff. You think about that. Precious word coming to Brother Paul. Someone who so loved the word of God. Someone who the Lord said, this is my chosen vessel. I got a message for him. But when it really struck Paul's heart, because you understand, Paul couldn't just be this vessel that it was just going through. It had to be received. Before you can give something out, it's got to be yours. And praise be to God. I'm looking at a lot of chosen vessels here today. Amen? Oh, amen. I hope you know that. Oh, brother. You know, people say that. Oh, it's his workmanship. You got nothing to do with it. He doesn't just throw his seed around and scatter it here and there. You don't realize who you're dealing with. This is God. And he's exact. And he knows who he's dealing with. He made you. He knows you better than yourself. He knows you better than your parents do. He knows you better than all of your heritage. And I encourage you, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Oh, I'm from this and that, and I'm from so-and-so, and I'm from what and that. I remember, you know, people see my name. Oh, Paisan. Oh, God. We get in fights all the time. Okay, now. Which country brought the greatest amount of art now? Come on. Oh, my goodness. My citizenship's in heaven. I want you to know I'm a Christian. It doesn't appear what it shall be, but I know one thing. When I see him, I'm going to be like him. So you want to take a look at me? Here it is. Look at me through this. Look at me through this. Praise God. But she perceives and beholds the word. See, she's anticipating. She perceives that there's something to anticipate. She's got something going on, huh? There's a stirring. She's excited. She's ready to hear something. She's attentive. She perceives it just might be today. See, and that's a lover. See, a true lover is a lover that looks every day. Doesn't just come out once in a while. It's a heart that says, could it be today? Could it be today? And then as that day goes through, sure, there was a sadness that maybe it wasn't today, but yet it was still such a beautiful day. Because it could have been today, and maybe it's going to be tomorrow. But see, brothers and sisters, with God, it's not an if, it's a when. So you have to understand, the hope of the world is a big zero. There's no hope in this world. There isn't. That's why they promote hope all the time. And every time you see that word hope in the world, zero. If any man, any woman stands behind hope, it's zero. Okay? Let's just get it done. I don't care if it was Republican or Democrat or Independent or Libertarian. It doesn't matter. It's a zero. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God. And in His faithfulness, He brings it out often. Often. Get them together after a while. The most intelligent, they'll start bickering like children. All over the world, they get their legislator together. They throw shoes at each other. They fight. They're a bunch of nuts. God didn't have a sense of humor. Think about that. But we have a hope that's an assurity. It's absolute assured. It's not an if, it's a when. And this is her heart, brothers and sisters. She waits patiently. She knows that there's nothing sweeter. And you know what I'm talking about here. She knows there's nothing sweeter than to run this race with patience. Nothing satisfies my soul like Jesus. You know what I'm talking about because she's in here. Part of her is in here. Knowing and confident, brothers and sisters, what the outcome will be. Now sometimes, immediately I hear, well, you haven't apprehended yet. Oh, I hope to apprehend. But see, I have my confidence in one place. In Christ alone. And He tells me in His wonderful promise that He will perfect and complete the good work which He has begun. Now, if you want to fight about that, you can go fight with God about that. I would rather go believe with God about that. How about you? Huh? See, isn't that some? Avoid foolish questions. Quit wrestling with the Scripture. All it's going to do is cause you to be someone that's unstable in all of His ways, double-minded, tossed to and fro. Huh? I've seen enough drunkenness. I grew up around Coors Brewery. Don't want to do that. Kept to see with the eyes. Oh, what a vision she has. They're stayed upon Him. She's overwhelmed with believing Jesus Christ. Are you overwhelmed with believing the Word of God? Be overwhelmed with believing the Word of God. That when He says, I'm for you and who can be against you? Take it. When He says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, take it. Huh? When He says, I want you to rule and to reign jointly with me, to be glorified together with me, to sit in the midst of the throne together with me, Take it. Quick to believe. Quick to take it. His hands are open with the riches of forever. Take it. Take it. Looking for His a second appearing, because them that are looking, He will appear a second time. My goodness. And I guess if you're still hesitant, if you're still thinking, well, brother, them some good words, but maybe a bit too far. Maybe the dearest and most precious interpretation of this word kept in the Greek is to remain unmarried and to hold fast. Well, you think about that. See, it comes down finally. Are you going to believe Him? Will you go? Will you receive this? He's there. He is on a bended knee. Always. 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 And until we see Him proposing each and every time, just like this, honey, will you take me? Will you take me? He's pleading with us, brothers and sisters. He's right there. I see Him do it. Praise God, He's doing it with me. But hallelujah, as He comes and He deals with our hearts, God help us to respond. That bended knee is only for a moment, and it's going to be gone. Time shall be no more. People got that all mixed up, rightfully divided. The time to be ready to marry Jesus Christ, and it's gone. Those virgins were gone. Those foolish virgins, they came out there. They didn't have oil in their lamps. They couldn't go to the marriage. You forgot the Holy Spirit. You didn't dwell in the love. See, I know people that know a lot about this word, but they're missing the love. They're just missing the love. They know it as a story. They know it as historical fact. They know it even, and I'm talking bridal things. But without the oil in the lamp, you're not going to be at the altar at the marriage. You're not. The Holy Spirit's the one that sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. That's it. It's a Holy Spirit life. It's the Pentecostal power. It's not all about tongues, as they'd like you to know. Wonderful part of it, because there's many times that this old mouth has to stop. Just like when the Lord got to this part of the meaning of the word kept. It was hallelujah, hallelujah, and the hallelujah stopped, and the prayer language took over. Holy Spirit had to get in there and really reveal the heart that I don't even understand. I don't. The only thing I understand is by faith, Lord, You gave it to me. Really don't know why, don't know how. I just know the grace of God came. And I love You. I don't know how to explain it. I embrace You. You're my bridegroom to be. You are my true love. You take my breath away. You're just too beyond. Because Thou hast stayed unmarried. Because, honey, You waited for me. Because Your affection has always been upon me. Because You have abided as the chaste virgin to me. Many daughters have done virtuously, but Thou excelst them all. I notice there, honey, there's a crown that You've held so tightly. You've cherished its value. You long to be glorified together with me. My desire is to see You descending from heaven, having my glory and being illuminated with my light. I'm glad you're taking that in. I really wouldn't expect you to be anything but still. And in closing, I just ask the Lord, may He fill us with this desire for the greatest love affair there has ever been and there ever will be, the light and His glory. The light and His glory. All because she kept the word of His patience. And He kept her. He shut her up to Him. As a sister said to me this last week, she said, you know, the Word of God, line upon line and line upon line and precept upon precept and precept upon precept. She says it's kind of like bars. A prisoner of His love. A prisoner of Jesus Christ. Set apart only to Him. I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. Song of Solomon 6:9. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, they praised her. Mother Grace has borne the keeper. For she has kept the word of His patience. And the word of patience has kept her. Father, we thank You. We praise Your wondrous Son. We glory in the love of the Lamb of God. We glory in the invitation to be made into the glory of the Lamb's wife. Lord, thank You for dealing with us so sweetly this day. Thank You for bestowing Your truth and love. Thank You that You've called together vessels to be true worshipers that will worship You in spirit and in truth. God, thank You that You're such a wonderful Father. Thank You that You're so loving. Thank You that You're so merciful. Thank You that You continue without ceasing to call out, "Come unto Me." We give You the praise, the thanks, the glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen.